This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Self, a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Draven Fine. Periscope is fired up if you want to watch along as we get set to talk sports and other things here on this Tuesday, August 3rd. Low-key, I don't want to say chilly, but a break in the heat for sure.
Beautiful. Love it. This is Draven's kind of weather right here, man. Cloudy. Cold, 70 degrees, let's go. Feels good, doesn't it?
Can't break the puppies
out. You got to admit, it feels good. Yeah, no?
I'm happy for the change of pace.
Okay.
I could have done without the rain this morning, but...
I didn't get hit with any rain driving over here, so didn't have to deal with that.
I dealt with a little rain this morning, but...
Little taste of fall, John. Little taste of fall coming in, wouldn't you say?
Little taste of fall. A small taste, yeah. I did see some people saying it feels like football in the air, so that's good.
Starting to smell it a little bit.
I'm so ready for football. I keep watching training camp highlights, and I'm just like, man.
Training camp's just so boring. Mm. I'm trying to watch it. It's just
like, does your team not have a lot of highlights?
They ask the same players the same questions over and over. It's the same clips every time. It's just like.
You're getting there, Draven. You're close to realizing the preseason and the offseason stuff.
Because I used to get excited. I was like Cam. I'd be watching the 32 teams, 32 training camps. Here we go, NFL Network. Boom, boom, boom. And then this year, I don't even know. I watched it the other day and was just sitting there like, what am I doing? They're talking. Well, it was the Jags, and they're talking to the Chenault guy. It's like, what are we doing? I don't care what LaVisca Chenault's got to say. I could care less.
Cam is focused on the preseason and the training camps because that's probably as good as it's going to get for them this year.
Low blow.
I don't know. I think 11 wins is pretty good. But I don't watch all the little gimmick of every other team. I just watch my team. I know my team inside and out. I will watch it all day. I will watch every play. I will watch what they're doing.
It's kind of amazing that you know your team inside and out and still thought they were going to win 11 games last year. It's kind of wild that you saw that up close and personal, just how trash they were.
That's how problematic Dan Quinn ended up being.
Yeah. It wasn't like they were that good. Under, not Dan Quinn. They weren't that good.
I'm ready for football, though.
Tennessee, we got media days going on today. I guess Josh Heupel getting set to talk to the media, right? Looks like getting set to talk to the media.
Mm-hmm.
We got training camp fights, a couple scary things.
Yeah.
As the Panthers basically had to shut down the practice for a little bit over a dirty hit.
Oof. Mm-hmm.
Daniel Jones having fun, I guess, up there.
Guy was immediately cut for the hit in Carolina. And then, yeah, Daniel Jones reportedly at the bottom of a pile in a fight at Giants training camp. Which then led Joe Judge to, you know, be going crazy and try to make them run sprints. And apparently the players didn't run hard enough. So then they had to stop and do a bunch of push-ups and... It's not going well.
What is this, high school?
Well, that's how he coached them last year. That's how he coached them last
year. I guess
that
was right? Yeah.
You know, immediately took the names off the jerseys, did that whole thing. And you thought, okay, he's going to lose this locker room very quickly. It didn't seem to happen last year. It seemed like they actually played hard for most of the year, especially towards the end of the year. But I do wonder how it goes in year two when you're doing this again and you're making them run wind sprints and push-ups and everything like as if they are high schoolers. We'll see. How far that goes as that team added, you know, some veterans.
Anybody see the hit that the Panthers got took? I didn't see the clip.
Yeah, it was pretty dirty.
Was it?
Yeah.
The defenseless receiver stuff.
Like
you're not going to do in camp.
Because it's first day in pads, too.
It's just dumb all around. You don't do it to your teammates in camp. Like, that should be a full-fledged rule. But then also, like, shouldn't do that in games either. Like, you should. Yeah. We've known for long enough now that, like, defenseless receivers, like, Can't launch at them anymore, guys. Mm-hmm. You would think by year five of that, you would like have got it out of your system. Like if you're coming up playing football, like you should kind of be prepared for that.
I'm going to give these guys a little bit of a pass. Guy just trying to go out there, make a play a little bit.
It's a good way to get cut. I mean, it's a dirty play. It's a good way to get cut. He immediately
I'm
got
waved. I'm watching
it.
I mean, I don't know. It feels like it was more of a bang-bang play.
Okay. I mean, if you want the receivers up in the air, like, what? I mean, whatever. They cut him immediately. They sent him off the practice field and cut him.
I mean, yeah, they had to cart the guy off.
He hospitalized.
Yeah, like, it's your teammate. It's the first day at camp. Like, maybe you can say we're getting soft, but I think we've gotten that out of sports or out of football. And then, again, it's training camp, day one, against your teammates. I get you might want to be a tone setter or whatever, but that's a good way to get cut if you are trying to make a team. So
again, it looks like a little bit of a bang-bang play sometimes. I don't know.
Okay. Well,
and he
Matt
did
Rule,
lower
Matt,
your shoulder a little bit, I guess.
Matt Rule knew. Matt Rule said, you're out of here immediately. So,
well, I mean, have to do that at that point, right? I mean, that guy's probably not going to make the team either way. Never heard of him before.
Yeah, I don't know who he is either, so I don't know what his situation was. It doesn't seem like it'll lead to him being in the NFL this year.
Yeah, he was undrafted free agent anyway, so like, yeah, he's
coming with a chip on his shoulder and not being smart. But
see, Quentin Nelson looks like he's going to be undergoing foot surgery as well.
Same timetable.
Wait, they just said that about Quentin Nelson's foot.
Yeah, just updated. Yeah, Quentin Nelson.
I saw that he was off the, you know, got left the practice and was in a boot.
They say similar to what Carson Wentz is dealing with as well.
Yeah, so 5 to 12 weeks again. The Colts are a mess. Oh, did you also see like the reports about Jacob Eason today? Like how bad that was?
Yeah.
Oof.
The Colts are down bad.
I mean, I didn't mean to laugh at Quentin. I wasn't laughing at Quentin Nelson's injury. I was laughing at just the tragedy of being a Colts fan these last couple of days. Like it, the two guys you couldn't lose. I mean, if you're Darius Leonard, you're like, hey, I gotta go get a massage. I got a doctor's appointment. I gotta get out of here.
Man,
the two guys you couldn't afford to lose on the offense are now out. And keep in mind, they're also like their left tackle plan was, you know, coming off of a torn Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Same bone issue. That's what they're saying. That's Carson Wentz, which sounds pretty bad.
Seems like a really, really bad couple of days. And again,
Brent Kroc said, can't make this up. That was his quote. Can't make this up.
Was it really wanting to laugh at Quentin Nelson's injury? But I'm laughing at the Indianapolis Colts and their fans for sure.
Man. I wonder how Brandon's doing somewhere far away.
That's a good question.
Brandon down bad. Check in on him.
It's a good question. So Quentin Nelson, all-pro guard, you know, maybe the best guard in the game.
Yep.
Now, going out with the same injury. That's weird.
That is so weird.
Earlier today when they announced it, you know, he's like, oh, it's precautionary. And then I guess they run the test, and they're like, hey, it's the same exact thing.
And they tried to say the same thing about Carson Wentz, like, precautionary. Just going to sit out a couple weeks, he'll be okay. It's like, no, not quite.
Yeah, every time they say that, I think it's usually worse.
Yeah.
For them to lead on, because if you know what it is, usually it comes out pretty fast when you're like, oh, okay, yeah, this is just this. You'll be all right. But when it is something, they're like, uh-oh, we need to get the fine details.
It's Colts might not be the Texans. That might be the Texans' one win this season. That, what, week six, week five matchup, whenever they play?
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, yeah. I mean, if you see the reports from Jacob Eason, like, they haven't been good. They haven't been good at all.
What a pass for the Titans. Wow. What a pass. Just open up the floodgates.
You planted your flag in the Colts. Don't change now, buddy. Keep the same energy. Keep the same energy. You've been praising those
like
Colts.
Like you said,
all
probably
off-season.
The two most valuable offensive players are out now. Like how could you say?
I mean, some would point out and say that you trusted an injury prone
quarterback. Here we go again. Here we go again.
And that if your second most important player is a guard, that you don't have a very good roster.
I don't know if that's very true.
I think that is very true. I think find any great team and tell me that their second best player, really their best player, is an offensive lineman that's a guard.
Dallas Cowboys. Zach Martin.
How's that work?
Zach Martin's a guard.
Thank you for proving the point.
Well, the offense hasn't been
Cowboys
bad.
Cowboys have been trash.
Okay.
I mean, they've been trash.
All right.
They have been.
I mean, Dak hasn't had a losing season. Should I have to repeat that? And of course, he got injured last year. Bring up last year when he didn't finish the season.
He didn't finish the season. He would have had a losing record last year too. But
well,
he did.
Don't know that for sure.
Which you would kind of crazy that he'd get hurt. You know, such a great.
We don't have to go down this path. But I think if your best
offensive player is a guard, your team's not going to be very good. I mean, I think that's a pretty fair assessment. Guard has been, on the offensive line, for as long as I remember, the easiest position, I mean, that you can plug and play.
Yeah.
You don't typically play guards. It's changed a little bit, but, like, the best player is a guard. It seems like a bad testament to your offense. I mean, I think anybody would agree with that.
Not ideal.
Yeah. Just because Quentin Nelson is really damn good and the best guard in the NFL doesn't mean, like, the Colts have a bad roster, necessarily.
Name other good players on their offense. Like, go ahead. Let's go through it. Name of the good players on their offense. Okay. Thank you. Exactly. Like, Jonathan Taylor's good.
Yeah. I was just saying, Jonathan Taylor. Couple, I mean, yeah.
Jonathan Taylor was good last.
Michael Pittman.
No, he's not good. He's not a good football player.
T.Y. Hilton?
He's fine at this point, but I wouldn't consider him good. He's a league average starter, and he's their number one. Go ahead and Google it. They don't really have anybody else. Costanzo's gone.
Mm-hmm. Those are tied in now.
Jack Doyle. I mean, he's
is Jack Doyle
he's,
still there?
I think he's still there. I mean, they lost Mo Alley Cox. I guess is still there.
Him and that what's the other? I can't remember that other guy's name. But
they had Mo Alley Cox, and they had the one guy from what was it? I forgot his name.
They got Trey Burton as well.
Oh, yeah, they got Trey Burton. So I mean, again, not very many good players on that offense.
No.
Yeah. So I said, how's the Colts offense looking for today? Jacob Eason on the ground several times, botched snaps, pick six. Doesn't look good so far.
God. Oh, God.
Bad couple days for them in camp. That's tough.
Oh, boy. Down bad.
Need to head over to FanDuel and see if those Titans division odds are still up.
Would you just almost tank if you're the Colts?
Should under 9.5?
Would you almost just be like, hey, let's just throw Eason out there. I was going to say, see what he's got, and then if he could be the future quarterback. If not, let's just tank. At this point, right? You're like we said. I mean, the offense has basically no hope.
No, it's a bad plan to go after Carson Wentz in the first place. I feel like
well,
I'm pretty
as we said, and not
that.
Have a pretty
sure.
solidified mm-hmm. backup behind
sure.
him.
But I mean, like Chris Ballard's had 3 years to try to make something happen at the quarterback position, and he's found himself now relying on Jacob Eason. So I do think you're right in the sense that if I'm the Colts fans, I'd just kind of be like, this isn't going to go well. Like, let's just go ahead and shut this down. They have a lot of cap space next year, although it's supposed to be like to pay like their own guys, like Quentin Nelson.
I was gonna say they've had cap space the last 4 or 5 years, it seems like, and they don't spend it.
Yeah, they haven't spent it. They've kept it to try to pay their guys, and they're just going to try to lock in a roster, and I guess maybe try to draft a quarterback in next year. We'll see. I don't know. I don't know what their path is. Maybe they will kick the can down the road and make a tough run at Aaron Rodgers next year. Who knows?
Deshaun Watson.
I'd be surprised if Houston trade him in division, but maybe if the price is right. Maybe that's what they'll do. But it does seem like their 2021 season is cursed. You don't want to get off to that start, but it feels like they are cursed.
Yeah, not a great start.
It would be hard for the Titans not to win this division at this point.
It would be hard for them not to win the division before these injuries. Because, again, Carson Wentz is terrible at football.
I know they were -105 a couple days ago. They are -120 to win the division now, the Titans.
Still?
Yep.
Feels like easy money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here debating whether or not I want to like invest money for 4 months.
Yeah.
Which I guess is people buy stocks, I guess they can get guaranteed
same
a
thing, yeah,
100% return. Usually they wait, years. Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. We'll get back into the NFL at some point, but yesterday we had the beginning of NBA free agency. A lot of deals coming out in a hurry. Not really any stars changing places just yet. Chris Paul stays. Kawhi Leonard hasn't made a decision. But I guess the third biggest free agent was probably Kyle Lowry. He did officially end up going to Miami. So at least we had one of the top guys change places. Kyle Lowry, 35 years old, gets a deal similar to what Chris Paul got, basically $30 million per year.
Mm-hmm.
3 years, $90 million as he takes his talents to South Beach and joins up with Jimmy Butler. They bring in P.J. Tucker as well at 2 years, $15 million. And then they pay to keep Duncan Robinson. They drop a big bag for Duncan Robinson.
What did they pay him?
$90 million.
$90 million?
5 years, $90 million.
These NBA contracts make me sick, John. Just saying these. Duncan Robinson getting paid. You said $90 million.
$90 million.
Ugh.
What makes you sick about it? Just compared to other sports? I mean, if I was a hockey player, I'd be like, oh my God, what, we picked the wrong.
I mean, Duncan Robinson, what he 10 points a game last year? Like,
well, I will say Duncan Robinson becomes very valuable next to P.J. Tucker and Jimmy Butler and Bam, who can't
shoot. Yeah.
None of them can shoot. So I do think like he is very important for them, and keeping him is important.
Well, they also did say he's probably the best shooter on the market as well, as was somebody said.
And then, I mean, he's maybe just the best shooter. I mean, I don't want to say like in the league, but I mean like outside of like your superstars. I mean like outside of Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, like
he's
probably the third best 3-point shooter.
Yeah,
I mean you could say Joe Harris or whatever, but Joe Harris got something similar. He got what, 4 years, $78 million last year or whatever. So I mean, in an annual basis, Duncan Robinson basically getting the same thing.
Because Bogdanovich makes pretty good money too.
I mean, he got a 4-year, $72 million deal as well, right? So I mean, like that's kind of the
Doug McDermott on a 3-year, $42 million to the Spurs. First of all, what the hell is Popovich doing?
Yeah, the Spurs. The Spurs had really no plan here. The Spurs bad offseason for them.
Mm-hmm.
Doug McDermott was pretty good last year in Indiana, but I mean, not. I don't.
We know what Dougie meant, but McBuckets is. We know what he is.
Bucket.
It's a bucket. I mean, shooting is a valuable skill. I mean, I guess, like, especially, like I said, with Duncan Robinson on this Heat team, if you're going to play P.J. Tucker, who can't really shoot anymore, Jimmy Butler, who never shoots threes, and Bam Adebayo, who, you know, is struggling to shoot even mid-range jumpers, you got to have that spacing to try to unlock everything. So it was important for them to keep him as well because they had his rights and could overpay him. So the Heat so far have been probably the most aggressive team, right? I mean, in terms of trying to change their destiny or change their ceiling.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how these parts fit together.
Yeah, I don't love the P.J. Tucker move.
Like, I mean, they're going to be Bulldogs. Like, they are going to have four guys out there that want to fight you. And then Duncan Robinson. And then they might have to round out this roster pretty much with all, like, vet minimum guys. But they should be able to attract some people down to South Beach. They'll still have, I think, the mid-level that they could maybe give out to somebody like DeMar DeRozan, which, again, doesn't help your spacing issues at all. But they got four Bulldogs, so they're going to try to go with toughness.
Is that going to get them anywhere? Like, it's not the 1980s, bro. This ain't the bad boy Pistons. Like, yeah, what are we doing here?
It's not even the 04 Pistons. You know, like, this is a team that will try to beat you up. I don't know where the scoring's coming from, which is funny because you're paying – you know, Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry, $78-80 million. So, I mean, they got to be the scorers, and we'll see how they complement each other. But the Heat have been the most aggressive in trying to, like, get back into the championship window. I don't know where this puts them. Cam, in the East, where do you think the Heat sit right now, knowing what we know, with, you know, still some moves left to be made for a lot of people?
Maybe, like, fifth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ahead of the Knicks.
Yeah, I'd say they're ahead of the Knicks still slightly. Knicks, I liked a couple of the moves the Knicks made. I don't know if they're actually going to work out. But
I mean, I think the Knicks got better with Evan Fournier. I mean, yeah. I think them paying Evan Fournier and getting him away from Boston hurts Boston and also helps the Knicks. I mean, I just kind of viewed them as an aberration last year. Like, I don't know if they can sustain that. Although, like, you know that Thibodeau is going to make those guys play hard every night. I just don't know if, like, what Julius Randle was in the playoffs is – like the team's going to, like, guard him differently, and, like, he's not going to be as effective as he was in the regular season. But, yeah, the Heat, to me, like, fifth or sixth seed.
Yeah, I think they'll be – them and Boston will be right around there, kind of going back and forth.
I mean, they were a sixth seed last year, right? Yeah.
They were a sixth seed last year, yeah. I mean, the thing is, nobody in the East really got better behind them. Like, the Bulls got better, but, like, I would think the Bulls are going to be more, like, on the Wizards' pace. Like, I mean, but, like, maybe the Pacers are back if they're healthy and, like, you know, add a couple pieces or whatever. Like, that Darte guy's – they say is supposed to be the rookie that's most equipped to get ready to play right now.
Yep.
You know, he's 24 years old. He's the same age as Devin Booker. Like, he's supposed to come in and, like, be an immediate contributor. So maybe the Pacers get back up there. But, like, I don't think it moves him ahead of the Nets, the Bucks, the Sixers, or the Hawks. I mean, I don't think those moves do that.
I don't either.
We'll see. But they were the most active. They are shooting for the fences and paying a lot of money. They were the winners of day one of free agency.
Yeah, for sure.
What'd you make of the Lakers and their moves?
They lost Alex Caruso, which was a little surprising. They, you know, the reports were that they weren't going to, like, overpay him, and he got an offer from the Bulls. They said he went back to tell the Lakers what their offer was, expecting a counter, and they're just like, nah, okay, have fun.
See ya.
See ya.
Which, I don't know, maybe they're trying to... Maybe they'll try to keep Dennis Schroeder in that role, like, kind of as the sixth man type of guy now. Maybe, like, they realize, like, that's their best bet is, like, signing him to an extension and promising him, like, the sixth man role, like, leading the point, you know, the point guard unit. Like, Caruso becomes expendable whenever you have Westbrook, just because Caruso's not good enough to lead your second unit. And you can't really play Westbrook and Caruso out there together, you wouldn't think. You need more shooting than that. So, Caruso goes to Chicago, where he will join up with Lonzo Ball, who goes there 4 years, $85 million. I think that's a pretty good pickup for the Bulls. I mean, I think Lonzo is a guy that can guard the best perimeter player on defense and help create some offense, and doesn't really need the ball otherwise. I mean, he's a good ball mover and can hit some open shots. And I think him and LaVine, that's a pretty good shooting backcourt.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, to get like an 8 seed in the East. Congrats. I don't think it's really moving the needle much for that team. They still got a lot of holes, I feel like, on that roster.
I mean, I don't know. Patrick Williams was pretty good at the end of last year, and like they would have had a chance to get that 8 or 9 seed until LaVine and Vucevic both got COVID last year. So I think a full year of Lonzo, LaVine, and Vucevic is a
pretty decent.
Ooh. I mean, to me, like, there's a chance that they're as good as Boston.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly.
Agree or disagree? Like, I mean, like,
disagree with that.
They're probably going to get some more stuff, too, because I think they're going to end up signing and trading Markkanen. Maybe I've seen that.
Yeah, I said maybe for DeRozan. Like, Laurie Markkanen, who is a restricted free agent. They're talking about, signing and trading him. And, you know, like I said, maybe bringing back somebody like DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, so they may add a couple more pieces, but
I just look at the Bulls' roster. To me, it's just as good as Boston's.
Yeah.
I just think LaVine and Vucevic are both overrated. They've both been on bad teams and have looked good because they're on bad teams. I mean, Vucevic was dominating Orlando because nobody else could dominate in Orlando. I mean, that was pretty much what was going on.
He did help them win a lot of games, though, in Orlando.
I mean what's a lot of games? An 8 seed where you go 6 or 7 games under .500 and still get in the playoffs because the East is so bad? Right, I mean, that doesn't really move the needle for
me. But that's him by himself. I mean, who else was in Orlando?
Fournier. You can just talk about Fournier
for just him,
right? But I mean, like him and Fournier. I mean, like, to me, like, LaVine and Lonzo together are better than Fournier. I mean, I think, I just think Chicago is going to be there in the thick of the 6-7-8 race now. And maybe not, but I like Patrick Williams. I thought he was pretty good for him last year, and you know, we'll see what happens if Coby White, you know, takes any type of step forward or whatever. But I thought Chicago. I like Lonzo. I thought Lonzo was a really good piece.
Yeah, no, we'll see
about
it too.
We'll see about LaVine. We'll see what he does. But I do think a full season of him and Vucevic. And
did he get his contract? Did he get extended?
He said he would wait if he needed to see, like, what, you know, basically let them play out this free agency and then take his extension and work with the team on cap space because he wants to win and all that. But he did say he wants paid. So I thought the Bulls did all right. I thought the on the flip side, the Pelicans, like, I don't really understand what the Pelicans are doing, man. Like, to me, the clock is starting for Zion now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll dive into some of their moves because I do think it has some pretty big ripple effects around the league when you look at, here they go again. Are they really about to lose their third star? Like, are they really going to do this again?
Jeez. It'll be quite the streak.
We'll dive into that after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. At the beginning of Hour 2, we'll try to recap everything Josh Heupel has said as he is addressing the media. Do see this, that he says that they are trying to, you know, have a starter named by game week at quarterback. So, I mean, like, I don't know Is that a big deal? Is that surprising? Of course, like they want to have at least a starter named. Does that mean they don't want to rotate anybody? Well,
no,
at all?
No. He kind of had the second part of that quote where he said that doesn't mean other guys can't have roles, which
right.
I think means that yeah, he's gonna still have opportunities for people to get in there and rotate and things like that until you know I guess CF some of it takes it over fully. I guess.
Okay.
So
like I said, we'll try to get a full rundown of what he's saying, and you know, kind of run that with the beginning of hour two after headlines. But I do think that one of the main stories of free agency so far is Portland doing their best to play out the definition of insanity.
Yeah.
As they are now, you know, basically trying to run back this team that is not good enough, right? I mean, like, they haven't traded CJ McCollum.
Mm-hmm.
They bring back Norman Powell.
Yep.
No real moves have made. They're paying 82% of their cap to players who are 6'3" or less. Like, that's a dangerous
wow.
game to play
oh, wow.
as they have
okay.
Kept that backcourt together and paid them big money. I would be really concerned if I was a Portland fan. And then I think what the New Orleans Pelicans are doing equally as bad as they lose Lonzo Ball.
Mm-hmm. Get some pocket change back for that one.
Get some pocket change back, a second-round pick, Garrett Temple. I mean, Garrett Temple, is he still a fine, like, 3-and-D role player? Like, I feel like he...
Yeah, he's playable, but...
You're bringing him back to Louisiana, at least, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an LSU guy, so you're bringing him home. He's born in Baton Rouge, so he's probably happy.
Yeah.
I mean, he did get 27 minutes a game.
Yeah, on a Chicago team that wasn't very good, though.
Yeah.
Was down shooting. Like his shooting has really gone, like, down. Like, last three seasons, 30%, 33%, 33.5%. So, like, he's not really going to stretch the floor for you or do anything like that. Maybe Satoransky can. I don't know. I thought Lonzo was worth much more than that. If I couldn't have gotten Kyle Lowry, I think I just would have brought Lonzo back. But either way,
yeah,
they had soured on him for one reason or the other. They then go out and get Devontae Graham from the Hornets,
mm-hmm.
who became a little bit more expendable, you know, when they drafted Lonzo. And to get Tim and pay him his four-year $47 million, they send Charlotte their first-round pick next year, which on one hand seems steep. On the other, maybe they're like, hey, we got these Lakers picks that, hey, guys, these Lakers yeah. picks and these Bucks picks are so great, even though, like, you know, Lakers and Bucks are both probably going to stay in the late 20s, and like not really,
yep.
those picks aren't really going to be worth much. New Orleans, who got a lot of praise for those trades, are now what? I mean, we've already seen Lonzo go, and Lonzo was one of the main pieces of that Anthony Davis trade.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone. Josh Hart's a free agent. I would imagine maybe they bring him back. I don't know. Those picks aren't going to be that valuable.
No.
And like I said, with the Bucks, you know, they're going to keep winning, and the Drew Holiday picks aren't going to be that valuable. They have kind of fumbled the bag here, and, you know, it does feel like they should be under a lot of pressure with, you know, when you look at what David Griffin's done there and hired and fired coaches. This will be Zion's third coach in 3 years.
Jeez. You think he'd demand a trade great. After this year?
I mean, it's going to be tricky because usually you can't do that on a rookie contract. Like, usually, like, we haven't seen anybody really do that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the option that, like, you know, he could just play on the qualifying offer and leave on his own.
Yeah.
There haven't been very many people try that. And the two people that have tried that, it's gone very, very poorly for with Greg Monroe and Nerlens Noel, who are like, hey, we're going to build ourselves. We're going to try to get out of here. We're going to turn down the extension. We're going to do this. And then, like, they got hurt and were terrible and ended up not making much money at all. But, like, Zion's head into year three. If I am the Pelicans, I have to be at least somewhat concerned. I mean, the reports have already came out that his family's getting frustrated with New Orleans, right? I mean, that came out last year
whenever
they were playing in New York, and he was talking about how much he loves playing in New York.
This roster is just terrible. They're terrible.
I mean, David Griffin has done a really bad job. Like, he got credit for helping build the Cavs. Now, mm-hmm. you know, who knows? Maybe we're going to look and say, maybe that was just LeBron. And, like, some lottery luck of having Kyrie Irving, you know, fall on your lap at number one and being able to get the number one pick again and trade Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Love. Like, I don't know how much, you know, David Griffin was putting that team together, But, you know, he takes over. He hires Stan Van Gundy. They immediately give Steven Adams a big contract. They give Eric Bledsoe. They get Eric Bledsoe.
Yep.
They've traded those guys to Memphis. They had to pay a premium to get off their contracts. Valanciunas will be fine, but he's a one-year rental. I don't know how much he's going to be, how good he's going to be there. And then now, like I said, you lose Lonzo for some scrap pieces. You trade a first-round pick for Devontae Graham, who, you know, maybe moves the needle, maybe not. We'll see how he plays there. He is a guy that I think is solid. He's a good catch and three. He's a good catch and shoot guy, which I mean might be really beneficial with that Pelicans team.
Yeah.
I don't think he's starter level, though. I see him more as a role player, spark guy off the bench. That's how I see him.
I don't know who's going to start if he's not, though.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, they literally, the guard play, I mean, what they got, that Alexander Walker guy. I mean, I don't know if he even really did much last year. That's pretty much it.
They have Tyrell Lewis. They have started the clock on, like I said, scrambling as they're trying to right the wrongs of the past, but they're doing the same kind of thing, like, trading first-round picks for players that might not be making them better. It's the same thing that they did when they had Anthony Davis, and then you looked around, they didn't have any assets. And keep in mind, they also lost Chris Paul because they couldn't put a winning team around him. You know, they had three, I don't want to say transcendent stars, but like Anthony Davis is really, really good. Chris Paul, really, really good. They got really nothing to show with it so far, nothing to show for it.
Yeah, I think Zion's going to end up leaving as well. They seem a little dysfunctional.
How many playoff series did Chris Paul win in New Orleans? Did he win any?
Yeah, they won at least a couple. Because I know he took, in 2008, I believe, whenever he was like 22. I want to say he took that Spurs team, maybe 2007 actually. Took the Spurs to game 7, like in the second round. I don't remember who they would have beaten. I don't think that was a first round series. I'm pretty sure that was a semifinals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many series they would have won, though. I mean, it wouldn't have been much in the West back then.
Yeah, 2007, 2008, they beat the Mavs in five games.
And then lost to the Spurs in 7?
Yep.
Okay. Because that was a really good playoff series, and it looked like, okay, these guys are going to be set for.
That was the only playoff series that Chris Paul won. And New Orleans.
And then they got...
And then Davis won the one with... When Boogie went down, I know that.
Davis won the swept the Blazers.
Mm-hmm.
They had another, like, pretty good playoff series against the Lakers where Chris Paul almost took, like, a Lakers... Like, took the Lakers team, they ended up getting swept by the Mavericks. Like,
that was the end of the Lakers, pretty much.
Right. Like, and Chris Paul won game one in L.A. and thought, okay, maybe they can do something. And they ended up, you know, losing in 6, but... Yeah, the Pelicans haven't had a lot of success to show for it. Like we said, we got, two playoff series?
Two playoff series, yep.
In, 18 years.
Not ideal.
No, it's not. And they, like I said, they've had three stars.
Yeah. Most teams would beg for three stars.
Yeah, I mean, to have the look they've had, where they had Chris Paul, Anthony Davis, and Zion, like they've had it set up, and they...
The Knicks would have loved to do that.
The Knicks, I think there's a reason that you see them trying to make all their contracts 3-year contracts, because I believe the way it would play out for Zion is he plays these next 2 years under his rookie deal.
Yep.
And then takes a qualifying offer and then is a free unrestricted free agent in 3 years.
Haven't the Knicks done this before, though, where they're like, oh, wait, well, let's just wait till Durant's a free agent. Let's wait till Kyrie's a free agent. They'll come to New York. They didn't.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, to me, like in this case, it wasn't like the Knicks were like punting, though. It's just that I thought the contracts kind of lined up for them. Like, I don't want to give Evan Fournier more than 3 years, really.
Yeah.
Like, Derrick Rose, they gave him 3 years, what, $40-something million? Like, I mean, that seems a little steep, but like, there's also like, hey, it's Thibodeau's guy, and like, Derrick Rose earned the money last year, and you kind of got to pay those guys whenever you're trying to, like, you know, fix your culture. You got to show that you're going to reward guys that come in and exceed their contracts. Yeah. And he's a fan favorite. So, like, he's somebody that could probably move. And Fournier got what? Did he get a 4-year deal? Maybe. I think he got 4-year, 78. I don't know what the guarantees are there in that fourth year or whatever if they were wanting to move him. But you can move Fournier's contract in that last year. So, like, they're trying to position themselves. But, like, the 3 years there, it was all
It was 4 years, $78 million.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And yeah, Rhodes was 3 years, $43 million.
So like I said, it's not like they just kind of like punted and like, hey, we're going to suck as we wait 3 years. They're going to try to stay competitive. They're going to try to, you know, stay in the mix in the East. And like they upgrade the team a little bit by bringing Fournier in and like losing Reggie Bullock. I mean, I think that's an upgrade.
Still felt like a little bit of a fluke last year, right? Sure. I mean, I don't know. Like you said, I don't know how much they can sustain the success.
Randall doing the same thing again.
Right.
Yeah, sure. Like, but, like, you know, instead of being the 4 seed, maybe they're just like, hey, we're trying to get the 6 seed. Like, get in the playoffs. Like, I mean, like, get one of those guaranteed spots.
For sure. I mean, yeah, got to start there, so.
But it does seem like here we go again in New Orleans.
Yeah. Good. That city deserves nothing.
Who they hire? Willie Green as their head coach? Like, another first time head coach? Like, I mean, just seems like, again, it just seems stressful. Seems like they don't really have a plan.
No. Nope. Well, I'd want to coach and a GM right now.
You had Team USA last night in the middle of the night beat Spain. That was, either of you guys watch any of that game?
No.
A little bit.
What
time was it even on? What, like 1, 2 a.m.?
I think at 12:40 a.m.
Yeah.
By the time I turned it on, it was right when the first half was ending. Then I watched the third quarter, and Team USA pulled away. Durant was awesome. And Ricky Rubio was trying.
Rubio
was hooping.
Ricky Rubio was trying. You know, the Spain had a 10-point lead late in the second quarter, and then Team USA wiped that off. And if you're Spain and you're tied at 43 after that half, you're like, okay, we know we're done for, because that was our best shot, and we're still tied. And they just didn't have enough good players. And like I said, Durant was awesome. And now we got a pretty good Final Four set up in the Olympics as Luka and Slovenia take on the French team.
Mm.
You know, it's got a couple NBA players. And Team USA now has to play Australia, who did lose Aaron Baines, who is, you know, an NBA player and a big man. But, I mean, keep in mind, Australia beat them last time they played. So that should be a pretty fun game in the semifinals, at least.
Yeah, they got Ingles still. You got Patty Mills and Exum trying to get contracts right now.
Well, yeah, Ricky Rubio also trying to get a contract there, right? I mean, if I'm Ricky Rubio, I'm like, hey, you guys saw what I was doing. I'm out there playing for my country and for millions and millions of dollars.
I'd be like, where's this on the NBA court, bro? He's never dropped 38 points in an NBA game.
That's how a couple of those, that's how a couple of those guys are. But you also got Giddy right now. I mean, do we have to count him now too?
Oh,
the Australian top 10 pick.
From is Oklahoma he playing City. Right now for him?
Yeah, I think so. Ain't he?
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, he played earlier in the Olympic qualifying and stuff. I assume he's still playing. I haven't sat down and watched Australia since the.
That's what I was like. Olympics I just actually started. Checked in on them a ton, but
they got some pros.
You gonna finally put respect on Luka's name if he beats this French team?
What do you mean put respect on his name? I say he's a top 15 player.
You've been downing his play with Slovenia. You have.
Ricky Rubio just dropped 36, bro.
He didn't win, though. He's not leading them to victories. He's not carrying them to wins. And not to mention, Spain is a lot better than Slovenia. Slovenia should be in the conversation. They shouldn't even be in this.
They beat Germany. What do you mean they shouldn't beat? What do you mean they shouldn't beat Slovenia, Germany?
Slovenia shouldn't be a Final Four team. They shouldn't
be. They got a top 15 player. Germany ain't got no top 15 player.
That's kind of my point. That Luka's pretty damn awesome.
Yes, Luka's really good at basketball. What if I said he isn't?
You've been downplaying the whole Olympic victories and the fact that he's what now?
I am downplaying the Olympic victory.
18-0 in international play.
I am downplaying
18-0.
I don't know who they're playing in their qualifiers. I can't imagine there's very many good teams playing Slovenia. Yeah. But also, Luka's a top 10, top 15 player in the league. I'd hope he could beat Maxi Kleber. In Germany, Dirk ain't walking through those doors. Chris Kaman ain't walking through those doors.
Chris Kaman German?
I mean, I don't know if he played. His wife might be German. He used to play for the German national team.
If Giddy's on this team, he has not played.
Okay, I thought he was on that team, but maybe not.
But they do have Dellavedova still and Thybul.
Okay, I mean, they got pros.
I got some big college football news for you.
Give it to us after the break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. This segment is brought to you by Kraft Axe Throwing. Use the promo code FANRUN for 15% off your booking. You can book online at kraftaxethrowing.com or just walk in. Use it at the desk when you sign your waiver. Go support the people who support us. Kraft Hacks Throwing is a good night out with the boys or a date night. Okay, just minutes from downtown Knoxville. All right, you promised me some college football news. What do you got for me?
So, this is from Max Olson.
Okay.
Max Olson reporting. He's from The Athletic. That Big 12 commissioner, Babsley, is meeting with Pac-12's commissioner, George Kakalkoff, today to discuss the possibility of a scheduling alliance.
What'd you call him?
I don't know how to say his last name. You pronounce it.
No, I'm just saying you said it very confidently, and I looked at it, and the way it's spelled is not the way that I would have pronounced it, but...
Kavlikoff?
Did you not say Kakalkoff?
Kalivkoff? That doesn't matter. This is irrelevant. He's new, too, right? He's just this first year.
Poached from the casinos, I'm pretty sure. One of the casino chains.
Either way, relevant, because the big thing is they're discussing the possibility, Big 12, Pac-12, of scheduling an alliance, merger, and other opportunities.
Okay.
Ooh. Makes sense.
So they're saying a scheduling alliance.
Yeah.
So basically...
Notre Dame ACC style?
I mean, they say merger, too, in the word. So wouldn't that make you think that they're going to merge these conferences?
Maybe, but I could also see them... Could they do a two-team, two-game series a year with like a Pac-12, Big 12 challenge?
Yeah.
Like, basically do a non-conference alignment, basically, where they are playing each other. And the Pac-12, who has their TV deal? Where's Pac-12 After Dark?
Oh, ESPN usually.
Oh, it's ESPN. Okay,
they do Fox Sports stuff too. But yeah, when it's like late night like that, it's usually on ESPN.
10:30 ESPN. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if it was on Fox as well. I know sometimes on CBS Sports.
They usually have a midday. They have a midday game on Fox, don't they? Usually like after the Big 12 game, isn't there like some like usually 4 or 5 o'clock? I feel like there's USC and Colorado or somebody playing.
Well, this comes on the heels of basically like of course Texas, Oklahoma leaving. The numbers are floating out there that each school is going to lose at least $14 million apiece.
Because of Texas
and Oklahoma leaving and like the TV deal.
Yeah, so they got to come up with other ways to make some money.
So like maybe this is trying to like keep both conferences alive and healthy. To me, maybe just a full-on merger is starting to make sense. A 20-team conference, although like maybe with the 20-team conference you – kick a couple people out, although that doesn't seem like that really happens much. But
You could, though, especially at least from the Big 12 side, since you kind of already have people leaving, you could be like, for one, West Virginia, I feel like it's a tough ask to be like, hey, need you to fly to Oregon and Washington twice this year.
Yeah. Well, see, the problem is, Cam, like these other conferences, who's going to take West Virginia?
I'd say maybe ACC.
ACC didn't want them the last time because West Virginia has very terrible academics.
That's true.
And, like, the Big Ten turns down some schools because of their academics. And, like, the ACC was just kind of like, nah, West Virginia school's not smart enough to come here. That's why they ended up in the Big 12 as it was.
Sounds like an AAC kind of route then at that point.
I mean, yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
But, yeah, that seems like one. If you did have to ask a team to leave, that seems like one of them that would be.
Is that
be
the. I mean, that's
there.
The only team that's kind of more east in the Big 12, right? Everybody else is more far east Baylor, TCU, all them, I'd say. But is this moving the needle? Like you say, they need to make up for the money. I don't think people are going to be lined up to watch TCU play Oregon State. Like, I don't think anybody really cares about that. Like, yeah, USC maybe bring in a little bit money when they play one of these Big 12 teams, I guess. Like, maybe when they play Iowa State. But, like, these matchups are still going to be just terrible, and nobody's going to watch them.
Yeah, the only way this, like, works is if you take the best school each year and, like, make them play the other best school.
Right.
And, like, create, like, just one huge game.
Exactly. Like other than that,
like a USC and Iowa State, like you said. Yeah. But, like, who would that leave Oklahoma State playing, like?
I mean,
Washington, like, I mean, who's it?
Oregon, I guess.
Utah.
Yeah, Oregon, okay, I forgot. Oregon and Utah, just put some respect on them. That is correct. They are both, I don't know about big brands or not, but they are good teams right now.
Yeah.
Oregon's a big brand. I don't know about Utah's brand, but. Okay, so they're trying to, I guess they're saying what this would likely minimize the financial impact and get the Pac-12 some desperately needed attention from college football. Because I guess, they say they haven't put a team in the playoffs since 2016. A merger would create the first 20-team conference and give the new conference 4 more teams in the SEC. I mean,
yeah,
Having more teams doesn't necessarily make it better.
True, but I think you can get out ahead of it a little bit, I guess, if you know that's where the SEC seems to be trending.
Now, maybe in basketball, it would become a little bit more interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But, like, you're getting out ahead of it, and you're basically just, like, locking in your TV money, and you're locking in, like, security, because it didn't sound good for, like, Texas Tech. Texas Tech's president was basically asked, like, if he's worried about the Big 12 remaining a power conference, and he's just like, yeah. Yeah, we are. You had TCU's either AD or president. What am I talking about? Making the Big 12 great again?
Mm-hmm.
Mexico's going to pay the buyouts.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll see. But, like, if you're the Big 12, like, you got to be pretty terrified right now, and you got to do something. Got to do something. The problem with kicking those schools out, Cam, is they'd probably have to wait until, like, the Texas-Oklahoma, yeah, like, buyouts were paid TV or whatever, because they don't want to, like, disband the conference, yeah, and forfeit any money or anything. So
this has got to be music to the SEC's ears, though, just because isn't this the whole goal? Was for everybody in the Big 12 to kind of, yeah, exactly.
Everybody was going to start scrambling once they started doing this, but if you're trying to add, like, do a merger, like, they're, like, if they do try to do this, wouldn't they have to wait till that 2025 media deal ends, too?
Yeah.
Unless they want to disband it and let...
Unless Fox came back and was like, cool, this makes sense for us, although I don't know if it would for them or what. Like, this merger this big would probably be something that, yeah, you wait a couple years to do. It'd be harder to do that than just add Oklahoma and Texas to the schedule if you're the SEC. Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two of headlines.